Ready for the word today?
Amen. Well, I've got something I'm going to share with you that may rock your boat, but if you'll give me an hour and 50 minutes of your time, I will convince you that I'm right today, okay? So I'm going to preach about something that's not very popular. In fact, when you hear my opening remarks, you may think that I'm questioning God, or I don't believe this way anymore, or I've changed boats in the middle of the stream. But I'm going to share some thoughts with you this morning that's going to help you to keep the faith regardless of what happens. And I so appreciate the songs that we sang this morning. They were so in line with this message today. Now, Dwayne and I, where are you, Dwayne? He's around here somewhere, probably in the bathroom. Dwayne, we don't converse, and I don't send him on Monday what I'm preaching on, so he can practice all week long on what songs to sing. If anything, I will recommend a song on Saturday night for the altar service, but hardly ever do they ever know what I'm speaking on, and it's not that I'm trying to be secretive or anything. I just sometimes forget to do that. But the songs this morning that they picked out just go right along exactly with what I said. And that reminds me, I want to read this song to you, the words to this song. Hang on just a minute. Here we go. 1968, this song was written. It was very popular. Every group, quartet, trio, was singing this song. And as we were talking this morning, I believe Darlene was speaking, and I remembered this song, and I think it's worth just. You want me to sing it or read it?
Read it.
Okay, I'll read it.
Sing it.
I didn't come here. No, here's the words. I didn't come here to ask you for anything. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Yep, Dottie Rambo wrote this. You've answered a million prayers or more that I forgot to thank you for. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Why did you come to church today? When you pray, is it all about give me, Lord, I'm missing this, I need this, and I want that? Or do you come sometimes just to talk to the Lord? Talk to the Lord. And then it goes on, it says, maybe tomorrow there'll be troubles and sorrows, and 1,000 teardrops may fall. But until I face tomorrow's task, I have no special favors to ask. I just came to talk to you, Lord. Isn't that precious? I just came to talk to you. How many times, Lord, have troubles brought me to my knees? But this time, I just came to talk to you, Lord. I don't have a selfish motive in mind. I just want to thank you for all the other times. I just came to talk to you, Lord. Well, I think sometimes we need to be reminded of songs like these that I didn't come here to ask you for anything. I didn't come. I come to church expecting. I'm expecting God to move. I'm expecting God to show up. I'm expecting God to be in the house. But I you know what? We need to enter in and even fall on our knees sometimes and just say, Lord, I didn't come to ask you. I just came to talk to you today. How would you feel if you invited somebody out to lunch and all they did was play on their phone the whole time you were sitting across the table from them, and there was no fellowship, there was no talking, nothing going on? You think, well, this is baloney. I'm not going to do this again. I think sometimes we want to talk to God, but all we want to do is ask him, can I have this? Can I do this? Will you let me have this? Can I have a bigger house, bigger car? Can I have a bigger bank account? Will you bless my 401k? God, can I get a better job? And sometimes I believe it's good to just talk to God. Amen? Y'all remember Elias Tindall? You know how he prays, you know, and just, you know, real quick, hey, God, help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. He doesn't spend a lot of time asking, just praising. Amen. So today I want us to talk about this because now I preached this message in 2016, and I have preached this message just about in every country that we've been since then. But I was praying this week, and I just feel like the Lord wanted me to come back and visit this again. And if you've heard it before, then you can say amen before you know what I'm going to say, right? And if you haven't, then we're going to learn something today. But we've all heard these messages about God's miracle healing power. And what really brought me back to this was Tuesday morning at prayer meeting, actually Monday at work, Tiffany brought to our attention the scripture in Daniel where the three Hebrew children were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, we're not going to bow down and worship you. We're not going to bow down and worship your image. In fact, they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. You remember the scripture? We'll come visit in just a minute. But then the next three words, it says, but if not. And that really was a revelation to Tiffany. I don't know where she was at 8 years ago when I preached this message, but I said this 8 years ago. In fact, I titled it, But If Not. And I want to remind you, and then Tuesday morning at prayer meeting, again, we heard about, but if not, God, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to believe you, but if what I'm asking for you doesn't come, it's not going to shake me, okay? So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, and thank you, Tiffany, for reminding me about this. But we've heard how that God's healing power, man, God just heals everybody. How many knows God doesn't heal everybody? Now, don't look at me like that. I believe for healing, but how many know some people don't get healed? And we talk about God's providing power. How many knows God hasn't always supplied our needs? Now, he's a supplier of all of our needs, but there's been times that how many knows we had to go to the bank and borrow the money? We've heard about the delivering power. And I think sometimes we just take it for granted that God's going to heal every sick body, heal every disease, and God's going to heal every sickness, and he's going to open every prison door, and he's going to heal and restore every broken marriage. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't work that way. As much as I would like to say, yes, we have 100% success rate, it doesn't work that way because there are still broken marriages in the church today. Do you know that there's as many divorces in Christian couples as there are in the unbelieving couples? 50% all end in divorce. And so we have to face the facts. We can't just stick our head under the sand or try to defend God. There's just sometimes it doesn't happen that way. What is our response to that? How are you going to, get mad at God? Are you going to shake your fist at God? Are you going to, you know, just quit the church and hate the preacher for his preaching so what I want to do today is I want to prove to you a very uncomfortable truth, and we're going to back it up with the scriptures, and I'm not changing my belief. I still believe we're healed by the stripes of Jesus. I still believe God supplies all my needs. I still believe that when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. I still believe that. But now listen, don't frown at me, okay? Because give me a chance to explain myself today, because I want to show you that it's not always your unbelief that keeps you from receiving. Will you stay with me long enough to learn something today? And so my question to you this morning, and I hope you're listening online and in the house today, my question is, and it's not very popular, but I believe we need to consider it. What will you do if God doesn't come through for you? What will you do? What will your reaction be if God doesn't come through for you? What if God doesn't deliver you? What if God doesn't heal you? What if God doesn't put your marriage back together? And, I'll share a little bit of my personal testimony in just a minute. But how many's ever, don't raise your hand, but how many's ever had an unanswered prayer? I said, don't raise your hand. A whole bunch of us have, right? We've had, there's been many of us that God, and how many's had an answer to prayer, but it wasn't the answer that you were looking for? How are we going to respond to God when things don't go the way we thought they would? And we're saying, God, I'm holding you accountable to your word. Your word says this, and you have to do this. The last time I read the book, he's still God and not us. He's still in the directing business, right? He's still in the boss business, amen? He is Lord. Everybody say Lord. Lord. And so many of the times, we've seen God come through. We've seen God heal. We've seen God deliver. We've seen God put marriages back together. We've seen some miraculous things, and most of the times he does. But I think about Darlene, who went through so much, and I would encourage you all to get the book. I wish I had one up here. I'd give it to somebody. But the book on the miracle of the breaking talks, it's a memoir of her life, how that God has been with her. And there's been so many things happened since the book was written that are testimonies of the goodness of the Lord. And we look at Darlene and we think, you know, God healed her. God brought her through this. God brought her through that. And, you know, one time we were preaching in the Republic of Georgia, and she got lockjaw. She couldn't eat any food. She had to suck it all through a straw. And she just, you know, it was just horrible on that plane trip coming back and everything. And we got back and went to a orthodontist up in Festus. And he put his thumbs on her jaw and her mouth and popped that thing down. It sounded like a shotgun going off. We didn't even get out of the building until it happened again. We had to go back into the entrance and say, it's back. And he did the same thing again. But you know what? She's not had any problem with that since then. And I give God the glory for it. There's been a lot of times God's touched her and healed her. She's going through a couple of situations right now, and God's about to fix it. Amen. Amen. How many knows if God uses a physician, he still gets the glory for fixing it? There's not a doctor, there's not a believing doctor, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Madaris, if there's not a doctor that believes that they can heal people, they will not admit that, because they know that God is the healer. They can treat the symptom, but they cannot heal the body. And so Darlene's been through a lot. But I'm going to remember Becky. Is Becky here this morning? Where's Becky? I don't see her today. Not this Becky, the other Becky. Okay, she's working. You know, she went through a horrendous ordeal. She was in a coma for 2.5 months. 2.5 months. She was in the hospital for 3 months. It looked like we were going to lose Becky, didn't it, Jennifer? We looked like in the natural we were going to lose her. But there was unceasing prayer made for her, and the Lord brought her through. So there are times that we've seen people be restored and healed and delivered. Darlene and I are a testimony how that God can take two shattered lives and bring them together, and bring together just a real supernatural marriage relationship that brings God the glory. But I've also prayed for people that have died. I was in St. Louis one day, and there was a man over here on Alexander Street that called and wanted to know if I would come and pray for him. They said he's about to die. And so when I was in St. Louis, I rushed back here and went to Robert's house and laid hands on him and prayed for him. You know, he died before I got out the front door. But I didn't feel like a failure. I didn't feel like, well, you know, he sure didn't touch God. He doesn't have the power of God. Listen, I can't do the healing anyway. And when you get the idea that because I prayed, they got healed, you've just went into a big pride problem, and God doesn't bless egoism, right? Amen? But I also remember praying for people like Carissa and Luke and Stephanie's mom, Carol Hale, who was at this church for so many years, worked in the nursery for many, 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 many years, and faithful, and her and Ron were faithful to the house of God and never missed a service. But I remember we prayed for her to be healed from cancer, and she wasn't. She went to be with the Lord. And what Luke says, she got the ultimate healing. She got the ultimate healing. And that's not a cop-out. She, okay. But you know, why didn't she make it? We prayed for Justin Rector, Mary Rector's son. Had muscular dystrophy, I believe it was. And he just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And finally, one day, he went to the hospital and he didn't come home. But we prayed. Do we not pray anymore? Do we no longer trust God? Do we no longer release our faith to believe in God? I remember just this week we got a phone call from a pastor's wife up in St. Louis, Sister Diane Miller. You all know that Brother Miller died 2 years ago. I believe it was 1 or 2 years ago. Stepped off the platform, went down to pray for people, and fell over dead. Well, his wife just passed away this week, and we believe in God to heal her of cancer, but she went to be with the Lord. Listen, don't assume, and this is important, you judgmental people, not you, those that are the others. Don't judge people that something is wrong with them if they don't receive. And we are so quick to do that. We faith people are so quick to judge somebody because they didn't receive their healing or get their marriage restored or something, you know. What makes you so smart? What makes you so right? Huh? How is it that we know everything? I don't tell you something. We don't. Somebody say, oh, how I love my pastor. We've got to keep balance and perspective that lines up with biblical truth. I know that God does heal. This message is not designed to attack your faith, but it's to build your faith. Because sometimes when God doesn't answer the way we think he should, we get mad, and some people backslide, quit church, turn their back on God, never want anything to do with God again because God promised healing and you didn't get it. Come on now. All I'm doing is preaching the truth today. God usually heals. I know God does heal. I know God does put things back together. I know God can deliver me out of this mess. But if not, I still love him. If not, I still trust him. If not, I will still serve him. Amen. I'm not loving, serving, and trusting because of what I can get from him. I love him, serve him, and trust him because of who he is. Amen. It's going to be good today. Amen. Okay, all right. So we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 17 and 18. And Alex, would you mind throwing my water up here, please? No, I can take it. I can do it. See, we've already got non-believers in here today. Don't throw it. He can't catch it. He's an old man. Three, 17, and 18. No, I want my coffee. No, leave it here. Who'd you listen to? Lady? Oh, Nick. I'll just hold it down here. Can y'all see that? Camera see that? That's what I said. Who cares? Daniel 3, 17, 18. If we are thrown, this is the NIV. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us. Everybody say, able to deliver us. And he will deliver us from your hand. But if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and worship the image of God, image of gold that you have set up. Another translation says that, but if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, I have heard people preach on this scripture and try to explain the but if not, I've heard it. I may have even preached it at one time or another. But we need to take the Bible. We have to interpret the Bible with the Bible. Amen. Basically, they were saying, we know that God opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel to pass through. We know that God tore down the walls of Jericho for the children of Israel to go in and conquer the land. We know that God can send angels from heaven to feed us by day and feed us by night. And we know that there's a rock that will give us water. And we know that there's a cloud that will lead us in the day. We know all these things. And we know he's able to deliver us. But oh, by the way, if he doesn't, we will still trust him. Can you say that today? If he doesn't, I will still trust him. I'm not going to lose faith. I'm not going to get mad at some preacher that told me I can have what I say. Listen to me, church. We've got to stop judging. That's what's wrong with America. There's too much of that junk going on. And how many knows? God knows we know, don't need it in the church. Amen. I know he is well able to deliver us. But oh, by the way, if he doesn't, I know God can do anything, but if he doesn't, I would never stand up here and say God can't do anything. Well, God can't hate, can he? I don't think God can hate, but basically God can do anything. And so if he can do anything, I'm going to trust him to do anything. But if he don't do anything, I still trust him. Be it known unto you that we're not going to bow down and worship your idol. Amen. Now, you got to remember, this statement was made by these three Hebrew children before they knew the outcome. This isn't something they wrote out and scripted ahead of time. This is they made this statement not knowing they would be going into that fiery furnace. They and so they didn't know what the consequences were. For all they knew, they were speaking the very last words of their life. Everybody say, but God. For all they knew, they was going to burn up and wake up in glory. We want to make this crystal clear to you, O King. We will never bow down and worship your God. Now listen, if the United States, and I said this in prayer meeting yesterday, if the United States passes a law and we as believers are going to follow the higher law, there may be a consequence for not following the civil law. But be it known unto you, Mr. President, Mr. Congress, Mr. Supreme Court, be it known unto you that you may have made a law that it's okay to kill babies in abortion, but I'm going to stand up and declare it is a murderous scheme by the devil. Amen. Now, if that gets me thrown in jail, so what? Follow me to jail. Solid Rock Jail Ministry. Yeah. If not, I will still worship you. Amen. Now listen to this statement of faith. If not, I will still believe I received when I prayed. Amen. I'm not going to be shaken by what I see, hear, smell, taste, feel. I will still believe the word of God. Amen. Let me give you another Bible evidence. Anybody heard of a man named Job? Do you know a lot of people won't read the book of Job because they think it says job? So they won't read it. Now, right off the bat, in the first chapter of Job, God says he's a man that loves God and hates evil. He loves God and hates evil. In fact, God goes on and says he's the best man I've got. He's well respected in his community. He's the richest and the greatest man in the East. And God told Satan, man, he's the best guy I got on planet Earth. I mean, he was the poster child for a godly child, right? For a poster, he was a poster. Okay, but how many knows that even though he was perfect, even though that God said there's nobody like him. In one day, he was stripped of everything. Everybody say, one day. I'm not talking about one year. I'm talking about one day. Everything was taken away from him in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. His life changed immediately. But guess what? He never cursed God. Even though his wife encouraged him to curse God. Even though his comforters told him, what'd you do wrong, Job? What have you been doing? What have you been doing? Why is God doing this to you? It says, in all of this, Job sinned not. He didn't say, okay, well, so much for you, God. I'm going to go find me a false God. I'm going to go find me a wooden stump somewhere, you know. He didn't walk away needing psychological therapy for 10 years. He just, you know, he said, you know what? God, I still trust you. In fact, do you remember the scripture that says, though God what? Slay. Though God what? Slay. Three of you got it. Though God what? Slay. Slay me. Though God slay me, I will still trust him. Is this okay today?
Yes.
Okay. So listen to this. Here's what happened in one day. This is Job chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. In one day, the Sabians took all of his oxen. Fire fell from heaven and consumed his flocks and sheep. The Chaldeans took all of his camels. A tornado completely demolished the house where his children live, and they were destroyed and gone. In one day, his health failed him. His wife turned against him. And his church friend says, what have you done to deserve this? What are you doing wrong? How many knows only a Christian can come up with that kind of a statement? How many knows we don't need more of Job's comforters in the church? There are some people you don't want speaking into your life, right? Amen. And this is in one day. Everybody say one day. This happens in one day. He's the richest. He's favored of God. He's never sinned. He's never turned his back on God. Is he frustrated? Is he confused? Is every other emotion that you can expect take over in his body? Let me clear something up though before we go any further. God did not attack Job. I will make that clear today. God did not attack Job. And if you'll remember the scriptures, God was talking to Satan, and he said, you can try him and you can test him, but you cannot kill him. So Satan was the one that was doing all this. Satan did it. And I believe Satan was kind of talking to God kind of like this. He said, well, Lord, if you'll just let me take all of his money, if you'll let me take his 401k, if you'll let me take his health, if you'll let me take his wife and kids, if you'll let me take his home, and if you'll let me do all this stuff, then I believe he's going to turn his back on you, because he's only serving you for the blessings. He's only serving you for the benefits. God said, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. Yeah, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. You see, I know Job pretty good. God was saying, I know Job pretty good. I know he loves me more than his family. He loves me more than his money. He loves me more than the blessings and the things that I've given him. Remember, Joseph was what? A righteous man. He was a godly man. And if you don't remember this, if you don't remember what this preacher is telling you this morning, if you don't remember what I'm saying, you're going to question God every time you don't get what you wanted from God. If you don't remember this, and one of the things that we do is we will judge people because they go through things, and we judge them. Well, they must have sin in their life. Well, they're not reading their Bible enough. They're not going to church enough. We judge people, you know, and listen, folks, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Not one time did Job say, why is God doing this to me? Not one time did he say, why don't God stop this? What did I do to deserve this? Listen, folks, we have an adversary out there. He's an enemy. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. Amen. Now I realize that we have authority over him. We do have authority over him. But listen, we are wrestling with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness of high places. Amen. Don't be so dignified that you don't believe in demons anymore. We're at war. This is a battleground. What amazes me is that Job is scraping his boils one day, sitting out there scraping them with a rock, and no doubt he's troubled with the pain. No comfort, no encouragement from his friends. His friends probably say, Job, doesn't it anger you that God doesn't answer your prayer? Doesn't it anger you that God's turned his back on you? Doesn't it anger you, Job, that God doesn't explain why he's putting you through all of this? This is in my mind, okay? I can hear Job reply and say, you know, I'd love to hear from God right now. But for the record, let me say, if God were to slay me, I'd still trust him. There's nothing going to turn my back, cause me to turn my back on God. No, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why it's me, and I don't know why I'm going through all this, but I still trust God. Somebody shout, yes, Lord. Now, how is it? Remember, you said a while ago, you love me. How is it that our sugar-coated theology thinks that bad things cannot happen to good people, obedient people, faithful people, giving people, but I tell you what, occasionally they do. I know that when I plant a seed, I have a harvest coming. But you know what? Sometimes that harvest don't come when I need it the most. Are you hearing me? Sometimes I give and I think, okay, God, thank you, Lord, because you promised that if I give, men will give to my bosom. So I give, Lord, and I just believe you for increase because we've got a vision here at Solid Rock. But listen, there's sometimes it don't come through. What do I do? Do I get mad and quit giving? Do I give up on God? My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. Amen. Let me give you another example. John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist? Wasn't he the first cousin of Jesus? Wasn't he the guy that was the forerunner of Jesus? Wasn't he the one that said, I must decrease so that he might increase? Wasn't he the one that said, you are the Messiah? You're the one that we need to... And didn't Jesus say of all the people born that John the Baptist was the greatest of all of them? But now listen, here he is in prison. He's the victim of a jealous Jezebel that wants to put his head on a platter. What's the word the Bible uses? Platter? Charger. Put your head on a charger. And so here he is in jail waiting for the day that Herod's daughter says she wants the head of John on a charger. And so he's got questions. John the Baptist has got questions. I preached that you're the forerunner. I preach that you're the Messiah. I preach that you're the one that's coming to take away the sins of the world. I was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I confess that you're the greater one. I've done everything right. Now surely, Jesus, if you're really my cousin and you're really the Messiah, you can break through this prison door and set me free. So he waits, and he waits, and he's waiting in prison. His cousin is over there preaching in another city, but he doesn't get a telegram, he doesn't get an email, he doesn't get a text message, he doesn't get anything. He's waiting for Jesus to answer him, but he gets nothing. So what does he do? He sends his disciples to where Jesus is, and he says to his disciples, he said, "You ask Jesus." Are you really the Messiah? Where are you? If you're really the Messiah, why aren't you helping me? Hello? He knew he was the Messiah. He was the first cousin of Jesus. He knew. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He probably played in the streets, kicked the can with Jesus when he was a little boy. Are you the Messiah? Or should we look for someone else? Is this good today? Oh, it's good. This is the best. Amen. Now, isn't it interesting that when Jesus sends the answer back, he doesn't answer, yes, I'm the Messiah. No, I'm not the Messiah. You know what he does? He says, you go tell John that the blind receive their sight. You tell John that the crippled are walking. You go tell John that the deaf are hearing and that the lepers are being cleansed. You go tell John that the dead are raised and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What's interesting is what Jesus didn't say. You know what Jesus is doing? He's giving him the word. You know what he's giving him? Isaiah 61. He's quoting the scripture to his cousin John in prison, and he gives him Isaiah 61, and John knows Isaiah 61. He knows it well. How many knows we read in the book of Acts where the prison door was kicked open by an angel of the Lord? And Peter got set free. But it didn't work with John. He didn't get set free. But here's the most important part of this whole story. Jesus sums it all up. He says, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the lepers are healed. And then he goes on, and here's the last thing Jesus says. He doesn't answer his question. He said, blessed are those who do not get offended in me. Did you hear me? Blessed are those that don't get offended in me. In other words, blessed are those that don't get everything they want when they ask. Blessed are those that don't get offended because they ask and they didn't get what they asked for. Blessed are those that don't get offended because of me. Now, folks, we got to stop getting offended every time Jesus doesn't fix everything. Amen. I don't stop believing. No, I don't stop believing. I don't put Jesus on the shelf and say, I'll come back next year. No, I keep believing. We keep standing. We keep confessing the word. We keep saying what Jesus said. But we don't turn away from God. We don't get mad at God. We don't shake our fist at God. I know God can, but if not. Is this helping anybody at all today? I know God can. Blessed is he that can sit in the prison cell and say, I know if God wanted to, he could storm this prison, speak to the doors to open up and deliver me. But if not, Okay, Brother Sue? Am I scripturally, am I okay for it scripturally? Okay. Can I give you another example? How many knows we got to keep balance and perspective with biblical truth? And here's where I really want to go today. What time is it? Oh, we got lots of time. Here's where I'm really headed to. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. How many thought I might go to Hebrews 11? I was telling my wife yesterday what I was going to be preaching, and she says, oh, and don't forget Hebrews 11. I said, honey, I've already got it in there. Got it already. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 32, 33, 34, and 35. Can you all see it okay? Yeah. Okay. Here we go. This is the great faith chapter, right? Okay, so I'm trying to clean up my page here. Where am I at? Okay, I lost my page. What more shall I say? For the time will fail me if I tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith, that is, with an enduring trust in God and his promises, they subdued kingdoms, they administered justice, they obtained promised blessings, they closed the mouth of lions, they extinguished the power of the raging fire, they escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, they became mighty and unbeatable in battle, put the enemy forces to flight. Women receive back their dead by resurrection. Now, if we stop right there, we could have a whoopee party, right? We could shout all over this church if we would stop right there. But that's not where the scripture stops. Without even pausing, maybe not even a comma, maybe a semicolon or something like that's there. But within that same passage where all these people were delivered and set free because of their faith, it goes on and it says, but others were tortured. Listen closely, verse 35 through 38. And others were tortured. Didn't even finish the sentence. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, refusing to release offered on the condition of denying their faith, so that they would be resurrected to a better life. And others experienced the trial of mocking and scourging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They were wrapped in the skins of sheep and goats, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelty treated, people of whom the world was not even worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and living in caves and holes in the ground. And verse 39, let's look at this. And all of these, though they gained divine approval through their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what they were promised. Oh, I don't expect a lot of amens on that, but folks, this is the Bible. All of these and the others, some received their children raised back to life. Others were cut in half. And they gained divine approval through their faith. They did not receive the promises of God. But how many knows they made it to Hebrews chapter 11? That's more than I can say for you. It's more than I can say for me. They're in Hebrews chapter, they're in the Bible. And you know what? The Bible doesn't condemn them because they didn't get everything they asked for. The Bible doesn't judge them because they didn't get the promises that they were asking God for. Are you listening to me today? They didn't curse God. They didn't say, well, God, you must be a liar because you told me I can have whatever I ask for. Please interpret scripture with scripture. Blessed are those who are not offended in me. Some shut the mouths of lions and others were stoned. I mean, some had children brought back to life and others were executed. God's able to turn the enemy to flight, but sometimes he doesn't. What are we going to do? Remember the movie Ghostbusters? What are you going to do? We're going to call on Jesus. We're going to keep calling Jesus, right? Okay, I'm on page 11 of 15. How many will stick with me just about 10 more minutes? imprecatory prayers. I talked about this a few years ago. These are psalms. These are prayers in psalms that actually contain curses or prayers of curses for the punishment of their enemies. Now, how many knows David was pretty good at praying these kind of prayers? Kill them, God. If you don't, I will. Go get them, Lord. And I got several references here where these prayers are prayed, but you know the Bible says pray for your enemies, and that's not what he means when David prays these kind of prayers. Okay, it's not the kind of prayers he's wanting us to pray. How many here today can say, but if not, I still love you? Let's try that, okay? Let's try that. Say it with me out loud. But if not, I still love you. If not, I still serve you. If not, I'll keep preaching the good news. Because God is good, and he's good all the time. Amen. Do you know that in the absence of understanding, all we can do is trust God? That's why the proverb says, don't lean to your own understanding. Because you know what? Sometimes our understanding gets a little confused, doesn't it? I know God is good, and I will never attribute a bad attitude toward God. Amen. I will never say God is bad. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him, for whoever comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Without faith. Everybody say faith. Greek word, P-I-S-T-I-S. You know what that means? Confidence. Trust. Complete trust. In order to please God, we have to completely trust him in the good times and the bad times. We have to trust him when we get an answer to our prayer and when we don't get an answer to our prayer. I hope you'll forgive me for this illustration. But years ago, when, and if she's listening today, I pray that she doesn't get offended. But years ago, when my wife left, me and my two girls prayed every day for Mama to come home. Every day. We'd put a note on the door, and we'd say, the door's unlocked. I'm glad that we didn't have a bunch of thieves coming around, but because they'd have found out, because the door, it said, the door is unlocked. Please come in. You're always welcome. And we prayed and we cried. We fasted. We did everything that we knew how to do. And you know what? Darlene did the same thing when her husband left her. And Christina and Alicia and I, we'd just hold hands. We'd hold each other. We'd cry and pray, God, bring Mama back, bring Mama back. But you know what? Mama didn't come back. What did I do? I couldn't get mad at God. What did I do? I trusted God, but I wasn't going to sit around and die and shrivel up and quit preaching. And that's another story. I could have easily quit preaching because, and you guys were at church at the time. You two guys were there during this whole ordeal. It's not very popular for a pastor to lose his wife and continue pastoring. It's a very difficult thing to do, especially if you're a pastor, because if you're a pastor, you're the one to blame, right? Because you don't have your household in order. But all I want to say is God didn't hear my prayer, or if he did, I didn't get the answer that I needed. But I'll tell you what I did get. I got a better answer. Maybe you don't understand that. Her name's Darlene. Y'all didn't get that, did you? I got it. God didn't answer the prayer the way I thought he would, right? But he did send me a wife. And tomorrow, or Tuesday, we'll be married 40 years. So look what the Lord has done, huh? Look what the Lord has done. We might make that golden anniversary, babe. 10 more years, we'll be hobbling up here. And I'll give you a golden bracelet. Okay. Can I give you one more example? Esther. Remember Esther? She was prepping herself, man. She took a bath in, or took a, yeah, she took a bath in the oil of Olay. She perfumed herself up. She got all nice and pretty, put on this long gown, you know, and she looked really, really sweet as she walked into the king. But you know what she told her cousin or her uncle? She said, you know what? I'm going to go before the king to save a nation. There's a high probability that I might die. But you know what she said? If I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. She didn't say, oh, God, deliver me. Don't let the king kill me. She said, I'm on a mission. I'm an arrow sent from heaven to save the Jewish race. And if I die, if I perish, I perish. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I'll die for a greater cause than my own life and my own well-being. You know what makes these people so great was their willingness to trust God against all odds. And even when it wasn't in their favor, they still trusted God. Every one of these that I read about today trusted God when they didn't even get the answer. Can you do that? Are you able to do that? Can you trust God when you cannot trace God? I said, can you trust God when you can't trace God? Come on up, worship team. We're going to do that song about the mountain again. Is that it? Speak to the mountain? Y'all just watch me for a minute while these guys come up. David did not say, I'll just hold it and have a drink of coffee while y'all. David did not say, take me out of this valley. Come on. David did not say, take me out of the valley. You know what he said? Yea, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. So whether you're facing a fiery furnace or a firing squad, if you have an ISIS situation and you're about to lose everything, just remember God says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're not alone. And if you lose your life, guess where you're going to wake up in? Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet with me if you would, please, this morning. Say this with me. Silence is not indicative of his absence. Say it again. Silence is not indicative of his absence. You know what? He may be silent, but he's still there. You may not see him, hear him, feel him, but he's still there. Always. So I felt like I needed to share this word today with you because there's been some of you that's been really, really praying and you're wondering, how much longer do I have to hang on? I'll tell you, you hang on till you die. Darlene and I are still believing things for this church that we were believing 40 years ago that hasn't come to pass yet. What are we going to do? We're going to give up? I'm just going to keep on believing. I may die. They may see the fruit of that vision coming to pass. I may not ever see it. I might be like the others in Hebrews 11. Amen? Are you with me? Some of you might be like it. Maybe some of you are praying for your children. Do you know that Reverend Luther Hassel, who was in the ministry, Darlene's dad was in the ministry for years and years and years, started two or three churches. He prayed for his son. And I know he's listening today. What's his name? I knew you knew that. Paul is listening all the way from Mount Zion, Illinois. And do you know that his dad prayed for him up until his dying day? Lord, save Paul. Get a hold of Paul. Make him give his heart to you, Lord. Do whatever it takes to get him back to you. Do you know that Brother Hassel never saw Paul give his life to Jesus? But do you know that after Brother Hassel died, Paul walked down the aisle, gave his heart to Jesus. Daddy didn't get to see it, but there were some brothers and sisters and an old preacher brother-in-law that got to see it. And I want you to know, though Dad didn't see it, it still came to pass. Some of you are believing and you're thinking, when am I going to see it? You know what? If you don't ever see it, you just keep trusting God. Don't give up on God. Because I believe the next generation. Oh my goodness, what do I say next? Since death is unavoidable and life is... Oh, by the way, do you know that Martin Luther King preached a message... Martin Luther King Jr. preached a message like this. Just almost... The title was exactly the same thing. And he preached it back in... November 5th, 1967. I think he called it, but if not... And he shared some of these things with us. Since death is unavoidable, and I think this is a quote from him. I think this is where I got this. Since death is unavoidable and life is unpredictable, the only course we can safely take is to yield ourselves into the hands of God and walk by faith in His Word. We don't live by explanations, we live by promises. Woo! We don't depend on luck, but the providential working of a loving Father, yes, as we trust His promises and obey His will. Amen. I heard a couple commentators say yesterday, boy, he sure was lucky. Just 1 millimeter away, he sure was lucky. There's a big difference in an angel standing in front of somebody and saying it was luck. Now, if you say luck, I'm not going to condemn you, but I'm one that don't believe in luck. God, I don't like this storm we're going through right now, but I'm trusting You. Remember Paul? God didn't save the ship, did He? But he ended up going to safety on broken pieces, on planks. I don't like this trial that I'm going through right now, but I'm trusting You through it, and I refuse to give up. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. But if not... Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. And God, I pray that the spirit of confusion will be calmed by a revelation of what's been spoken today. God, open the eyes of our understanding and help us to know You, Lord, to understand Your word. God, none of us have the market on knowing the whole word. God, we learn in bits and pieces. We learn by baby steps. And Father, I just pray that this revelation will just explode on the inside of us so that we don't get frustrated when things doesn't go the way we think they ought to go, or because we think Your word says it goes this way and it didn't go that way. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our minds. Let us receive Your word today. Let us receive Your word today, Lord. And God, may we say, like Job, may we say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, may we say like Queen Esther, may we say like the Apostle Paul, but if not, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn in my membership card. I'm not going to quit reading the Bible. But I will trust You. I'll keep trusting You, Lord. I'll keep trusting You, Lord. I'll keep trusting You, Lord.